Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing equally well. Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. It's great to have both of you here. It's always fun when you're on the show with me. Hey, we have a sponsor. That sponsor is VideoBlocks, and I've been using their stock image and video content for a little while now, and it's pretty awesome. I'll tell you more about that in a bit. But we have something that we just need to jump into right now, and that's Marzipan, which actually... You could take a
let's take a
of
moment
different ways.
Let's take a moment and think about jumping into Marzipan.
Okay. Now, here's what I mean about jumping into Marzipan. There's a report that came out of Bloomberg today that says Apple has a new thing called Project Marzipan. And this is a project that is ultimately going to become a way for developers to create what I'll call a unified app, meaning they can use the same code base for iOS and macOS, and then it will have the right UI elements for whichever platform you're actually running on. So if you create an app, and we'll call it Jeff's Pork Hunt, and if you're playing Jeff's Pork Hunt on an iPhone or an iPad, then you get the touch interface elements you'd expect from iOS. But if you're playing Jeff's Pork Hunt on your Mac, then you get the trackpad and mouse interface elements instead. And so we kind of need to dive into this and sort it out a little bit and see if we can figure out what this really means for Apple. John, what do you think?
This is glorious. This is just the kind of thing Apple does. This is when you go to WWDC, if they talk about it next year at WWDC. You're sitting there in awe in the audience and you're going, wow, this is the thing Apple does. This is the rabbit that Apple pulls out of the hat about every 5 years. And you're just thinking, oh my God, this is so cool. Now, it's going to be a pretty good challenge, I think, because after I read this, I started thinking, are there any user interface elements that would be hard to translate? I guess with the trackpad, I guess there aren't, but there might be some. But anyway, just for the back-end side, creating the Xcode development system and making sure everything works right, that was my first thought. And then the second thought I had was, does this mean that maybe Apple's going to maybe change to a unified processor in the future too? I think Mark Gurman in his article, Bloomberg, talked about that, so...
And
all sorts of things are blowing through your mind right now. And you're just going, wow, what about this? What about that? Oh, this is so cool. This is what Apple does.
All right. So here are the things that I expect are going through our listeners' heads right now. For some of them, it's, holy crap, you mean I can finally buy one app and it just runs everywhere? For other people, it's, holy crap, does this mean that Apple's going to a unified operating system across iPhone, iPad, and Mac? And other people are thinking, holy crap, does this mean that the Mac is going away? And then the other holy crap group that I'm envisioning is the group that's saying, does this mean that Apple is abandoning Intel processors? So,
well, I think what it means is that Apple is thinking about having a sensible family of hardware devices. I mean, there is a family right now, but it's kind of disjointed in that when people attach a keyboard to an iPad, they're basically walking around to something that looks like a MacBook or a MacBook Pro. So it's a little bit disjointed there, but when you think about the family of processors and the family of hardware that Apple has, it makes sense to kind of like allow yourself to grow. This might be an inroad to something I've been talking about for a while, to, you know, have 24-inch iPads like the Microsoft Surface Studio. This might be a way to, you know, open up development of MacBooks in ways that hadn't been opened up before.
Man, so, I hope Apple is not going down that path, unless they can do it in a remarkably different way. And here's why. It's because I've actually been able to use the Surface Studio quite a bit. and it's a horrible experience. It is one of the most beautiful displays I've ever seen on a computer.
Oh, yes. I've touched one.
With one of the most awful user experiences I have ever encountered.
Well, I saw a tweet this morning that said Microsoft has tried this and Google has tried this and they both failed. And I don't know about the Google side of it. I think that they're talking about Android apps running on Chrome, but it's a challenge. But, you know, Apple's the kind of company that can pull it off. Well, they have the engineers. They have this infrastructure.
The thing I want to understand about this project, because I haven't quite heard this exactly how it makes sense to me yet. I admit I haven't read a lot about it, so I will ask the two of you. What I want to know is, does this mean that I have Jeff's Porg app on my iPhone or on my iPad, and I open it there and it does a thing? Is it a different app on my Mac where I interact with it using a mouse and a keyboard?
Yes.
Okay. So
okay.
It's an app that is compiled for, it's the same app. It's compiled for mouse or compiled for touch.
So here's where I think this is going. And I don't think, well, for developers, this is really dramatic and exciting. For end users, not as much. I think what this is really all about is giving developers a way where they can create a single code base that compiles out for iOS or macOS. Because as it stands today, even though you can reuse some of your code going across devices, you have to write a new application for both. So this is really... From in my mind, this is about making it easier for developers to create an app and then deploy it to both platforms.
Exactly.
And I think it will be a way to help. It will act as a catalyst for Mac app development, because right now, developers, just generally speaking, I know I'm really generalizing here, they're focusing more on iOS because that's where they're getting more eyes and potentially more dollars. So if you have an app that you've developed for both platforms previously, you're more likely going to update it for iOS while potentially letting the Mac version, I don't want to say languish, but in some cases languish at the expense of the iOS version. So what if you could write your code once?
So this sort of gives you both for free.
Yeah.
This is sort of like getting one of them. So if you primarily write a Mac app, if you use this to write your Mac app, you sort of get an iOS app. I know, but you sort of get an iOS app for free because the basics of it are all there. And if you're doing the same on for an iOS app, like all I ever write is my iOS, you know, Porg Amon Go, and I write that on iOS. You see what I did there? Then I get the Mac version for quote, this is all air quotey for free. Like the basics are there, and then it's up to me to build the rest of what makes it different.
So contrary to the being the end of the Mac, this is a way to breathe new life into the Mac, because all the developer energy bleeds into the Mac as well.
There you
go. Well, maybe. Now, the other thing to think about before we spend a bunch of time, you know, wailing and rending garments over this, is that Apple does stuff like this all the time internally. I guarantee you there's a MacBook Air with a 4G or an LTE chip in it, just like your cell phone, just like your watch, that exists somewhere on the Apple campus. They built one to see what would happen, but for whatever reason, we can't go buy it. I guarantee you there's half a dozen different really weird looking to us iPods out there somewhere in Cupertino because they tried them out and it didn't do what they wanted. And this could be the same thing where we're trying it out to see what happens. And what was worrying me is that this was going to be the Microsoft approach where whether you have a keyboard and a mouse to interact with or you only have a touch screen to interact with, whether it's a laptop sized one or a phone sized one, it's exactly the same app, because that's really hard. I've tried to use that because I was really curious how it would work. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and there's another aspect to this, and that is the security. You know, the Mac has always been sort of open-ended in its heritage. And Apple recently started, you know, clamping down and adding the sandbox and working on tighter and tighter security. But because of the way the Mac works, Apple hasn't been able to institute the security measures in the operating system that they have been in iOS. Wouldn't it be cool, probably Apple's thinking, when the Mac with a secure enclave and the Mac running mostly iOS type apps has the same kind of security that your phone does. And you don't have these open holes that have been there for years because of the legacy design of Mac OS.
You know, I want you to hold that thought, John, because I want to kind of dive into that some more. But first, I want to talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor is VideoBlox. So VideoBlox, what they do is put together all of the stock video, audio, and image content that you may need for your business or for any other project that you're working on. And it's all royalty-free, and it's available at a really great price. So you can get any one of their three stock services for $149 a year, the video, audio, or images. And the content's royalty-free. You get as many downloads as you want. So let's say you're working on a new video project promoting your resort in Colorado. Great. Okay. So you need to have cool mountain shots and you want to see things from different seasons. So you can go and search for drone footage of Colorado mountains, find the type of scenes you want, download those in 4K even, edit them together the way that works for you. So you can have this compelling promotional video for your new cert or, your new place, and away you go. So I love that it's easy to search, easy to find stuff, and that you're always getting good content, and they're adding more all the time. So what they've done, because they want all of us, all of you, my dear listeners, to be able to take advantage of this at an even better price, they put together the triple bundle just for you guys. So here's the deal. Regularly, it's $149 a year for unlimited access to the video, audio, or image content. But through the end of this month, which isn't much longer because it's already December 20th, through the end of this month, you can get the triple bundle offer. It includes all three of the services, audio, video, and image, for $149 for the year. And that's still unlimited downloads and still royalty free for everything. So to get the triple bundle offer, go to videoblox.com/TDO and don't wait. The special offer is available only in December. So that's videoblox.com/TDO. Head over to their website and check it out because they've got some great content. I've been using it in articles at Mac Observer for a little while now, and I've been really pleased with what I've got. Videoblox.com/TDO. Thank you, Videoblox, for being our sponsor. Okay. So, John, you were talking about security and chips and stuff, and it made me think about the iMac Pro, because the iMac Pro has an A-series processor in it along with the Intel processor. And I'm kind of curious, do you see this – well, it also has Secure Enclave. So do you see this as Apple extending its hardware-based security to the Mac, or do you see this mm-hmm. as the beginning of something where we're all going to start freaking out because we're finding that the computers we've been asking for are the computers we're getting, and maybe that's not the computers that we really thought we wanted?
Well, I think what you have to take into account is the evolution of iOS. Right now, there are some things that are painful or impossible to do in iOS that we routinely do on our Macs. I think Apple is planning to create an iOS infrastructure in the future such that there aren't any more limitations, so that in 2020, when a developer sits down to write a really great app for podcasting or for graphics or for database or something, within the constraints that exist for security, they'll be able to do whatever they need to do to create all the capability and possibilities that they want. that historically have been minorly reserved for the Macintosh. I think that distinction is going to go away over the next few years as iOS gets more and more capable. And it makes sense to make that. I read an article about a year or two ago, and I forget what the context was, but something about how Apple would love to make the Mac as secure as the iPhone. You know, you do a master reset, your hardware key's gone, the SSD is encrypted and scrambled, you sell your Mac, no problem. Mm-hmm. That Macs are as safe to use as your phone and iPads, without concerns for, you know, malware and so on. So I think that's a vision that Apple has, and it'll take some really brilliant engineering, and it'll take some intelligent evolution of iOS so that it can replace macOS or substitute for it. And then we just have a uniform app environment. And then we pick our hardware platform of choice, whether it fits in our pocket, whether it sits in our lap, or whether it's on our desk with a zillion inch display.
All right. I love this idea. And at the same time, I'm really worried that it's going to fall to or end up in the same place that I'm seeing Star Wars The Last Jedi right now. And yes, I know that I'm totally opening up a can of worms by bringing us into the Star Wars debate right now. But so here's the deal. when people were talking about the Star Wars movies, they had this image in their head of what they wanted them to be. And then we get the Star Wars The Force Awakens. And some people loved it, but there were a lot of longtime Star Wars fans that got really bent out of shape because they felt like like Disney, wow, was just remaking episodes.
Lucasfilm at that point, yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was Disney at that point, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Was it Disney at that point?
I think it was. But anyhow, the point is they got upset because they didn't get what they wanted. And then The Last Jedi comes out, and it has a different feel to the previous movie, and it has a darker tone to it in a lot of places. And now these same people are really upset because they didn't get the movie they wanted. So I'm concerned that what Apple may do as they head down this path, and I think we're seeing it with the iMac Pro, people asked for one thing, they got it, and then they were pissed off because they got what they asked for, and they've decided that isn't what they want.
What we were talking about before the show, there's this mentality, Kelly, that you brought up is that says, quote, if it's not right for me, it's not right for anyone, unquote. Right.
And I'm going to go on record as having loved The Last Jedi, went again last night. I had a really good time at it. I liked The Force Awakens. It felt like a Star Wars movie right down to the ground. Mm-hmm. I think The Last Jedi feels like a Star Wars movie right down to the ground. Is it a great film? No, I'm not like objectively like as a masterpiece of filmmaking. No. It's got some problems. It's got some rough spots. That's a thing that happens. But what excited me the most about it is that it starts the same way all of them do, which is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There's a whole galaxy out there that we don't know anything about. And for the first time in 8 movies, there are parts of it that we are seeing that we never saw before. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting to me. It's the thing I didn't like about J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies is I already know this story. Don't tell me this story. Tell me a new story. You've created an entire universe. Go play in it. Don't stay in the spot that we already know. So I think it's super fun. I really like it. The characters are interesting. I've had a lot of fun learning more about these new people. And I really enjoyed it. And you know how much I enjoyed it? I did a panel over at The Incomparable where you can listen to me talk about it. And I think we actually went longer than the film itself when we sat down to record to talk about it.
Kelly, I have a theory.
Yes.
I have a theory that for some people, there are missing connections in the brain. There's sort of gaps in the infrastructure. And a movie comes along and the movie's so powerful visually, it creates connections and fills in those gaps and creates a fabric. And then when you see another movie that doesn't fit in that with that fabric, you're alienated. You can't digest the new movie because your fabric's already been populated. For those people who are already populated, well-populated and well-balanced, it bounces off of them and they don't get annoyed when their fabric is stretched.
See, mine just gets bigger. I just have more fabric now, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So is this kind of what we're seeing with the iMac Pro and with this report of Marzipan?
Well, here's the other thing about that. I saw this go by this morning. 21 years ago today,
that's Apple when Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play.
That's true.
No, that was only 20 years ago today.
That was 20 years ago today. So 21 years ago today, Apple and Next announced a merger. And wasn't that supposed to be the end of the world? And Apple was going to put Intel chips in machines like 10 years ago. Wasn't that supposed to be the end of the world? And Apple has ended the world a bunch of times. I mean, hi, Mac Observer has a death knell watch.
Remember when Apple announced that Carbon wasn't going to go 64-bit and the developers went, end of the world.
Right? So, like, I feel like, you know, Michael Stipe can take a vacation here. You know, it's not the end of the world as we know it. It's gonna it's gonna be okay. I'm really interested in, again, all the wailing and rending of garments about this, because we don't know anything about this yet. Like, we barely know that it's a thing, and all we know about it is that it exists. And for all we know, someone like me works at Apple and goes, you know what would be funny right before Christmas? Because I'm a person who would go put, like, you know, iPhone 95 in the iTunes strings that people prowl for information about new hardware, because I think that would be hilarious. So, you know, iPhone Vista, like, those are that's a thing that I would do, because I think it would be funny to unleash that and see what happens. So we don't know anything about this yet. So until it takes a more solid shape than Xcode in the mist, like, I'm gonna reserve judgment on it. If its point is to, like I said before, give you the other version of your app kind of for free, so that the basic, you know, the basics are all there and you've got a framework, and then all you have to do is build the specific elements that work in that particular environment, that sounds great. And it sounds like what Windows should have done with Windows 10. And if that's the case, then I support Apple doing this and maybe getting it right, because then there's a chance that apps I love on iOS that I wish were on my Mac could come to my Mac. And there's a chance that Mac apps I love could come to my phone. And if you really want to know about them, get in touch with the show and I'll tell you what I want that I wish could cross that gap. At this point, I don't know enough about it to be really excited, and I don't know enough about it to be really worried. So I'm just going to kind of wait and see, because I feel like we've had these sort of world enders before, and yet here we are.
All right.
Exploring the alternate timeline.
Yes. Yeah. And we're out of time on this timeline. So we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. And John, thank you for being here as well.
Very welcome. Jeff, Kelly, have a great holiday.
You too.
You too. And VideoBlocks, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, to take advantage of that triple bundle special offer, $149 for all three of their stock services. But hop to it, because it's the 20th right now, and this offer ends at the end of the month, so you only have a few days left. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.